Turn your Bibles to Isaiah 23. So we know this mountain began with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, Rebecca, Leah, the patriarchs of generational inheritance, the blessing and the mantle they walked in. God sowed. They were all buried into this mountain. He really sowed that anointing into this mountain. And 400 years later, the spies come down. They go first to Mount Hebron. It's the very first place they go when they go into the promised land. It was the prized possession of the promised land. The devil knew that. That's why the giants were sitting there. And of course, you know the story. After 45 years, Caleb inherits that mountain. 45 year stand of faith. That's really powerful. He drives the sons of Anak out. And then for another day, David comes along and he gets crowned to that mountain. We've looked at all this. I mean, he multiplies immediately upon being crowned first in Mount Hebron. God multiplies him from 600 men to 348,000. That mountain released his governmental anointing. It released the multiplication, multiplied him with a government of men that would not break rank, and multiplied him financially such as the world had never seen before. That had come, and he had delivered that to Solomon. And then we looked at all of that. And then we saw Solomon's fall, how it survived 400 years, seven major plunderings. And then all of a sudden it moved to the infamous city called Tyre. And we've been in Tyre for several weeks now. Really, this is the back end of Tyre, what we'll minister today. And we looked at the king of Tyre, which was Ezekiel 28. When we saw and showed you, that was the devil himself described as the king of Tyre. That's how the Lord really got me into this message. He said, why would the devil in all of his pomp and glory call himself a king they spread fishnets upon when he boasts to be the god of this world system? Well, there's a reason, because during Solomon's day, when all of that wealth had been used to convert the kings and the queens of the earth and all the people of the earth, they came to Solomon's temple. They saw the glory. They heard the wisdom. And he said, Lord, if a stranger comes to this tabernacle and prays, do all that's according in their heart. Answer their prayer for them. If they'll come and pray to you in this tabernacle, then answer their prayer that they may know you're the true and living God. And so all the kings of the earth came and saw the glory of God, just like the Queen of Sheba when she lost her spirit. Well, all of that began the conversion of the world. And so the devil never had seen anything like that happen before. So at the fall of Solomon, he became really the king. All of that wealth conglomerated into a city called Tyre. I'm just trying to catch you all up here of where we're at. And he said, aha, the gates of Jerusalem are broken. Now I'm being replenished, speaking of Tyre. So he becomes the king of that city. But really what he was saying, I'm king of the global financial system. I am king. Where Solomon was king before, he says, I'm now king of all this. And that's why the devil is called the king of Tyre. Tyre was a financial system. And so last week we looked at a very powerful prophecy, and I want to just rehearse this prophecy because I left out a very important part last week, and then we're going to go to the next level, amen? But I really encourage you to listen to this, because we're living in a day where very powerful things are going to take place. They're already transitioning right now on a global scale. We're going to look at this prophetically because there's a scripture that gives us prophetic timelines of what's happening globally right now. Amen. So Isaiah 23 verse 14 says, how you ships of Tarshish or Tyre, for your strength is laid waste. And it shall come to pass in that day that Tyre shall be forgotten 70 years. According to the days of one king. You need to underline that, say one king. I had this revelation 20 years ago. It took me 20 something years to figure out what this one king was. And the reason why I couldn't figure it out, because it wasn't time yet. The financial systems of the world have not come together like they've come together today. Now I understand what the one king is. I really, really believe I understand this. At the end of 7 years shall Tyre sing as a harlot. Take a harp, go about the city, thou harlot that has been forgotten. Make sweet melody, sing many songs that thou mayest be remembered. Verse 17. It shall come to pass after the end of 70 years that the Lord would visit Tyre, and she would turn to her hire, and would commit fornication with all the kingdoms of the world upon the face of the earth. Now, you need to understand the biblical imagery here of when it's speaking Tyre would commit fornication. Look at verse 18. And her merchandise and her hire shall be holiness to the Lord. It shall not be treasured or laid up, but her merchandise shall be for them that dwell before the Lord to eat sufficiently for durable clothing. This is a prophecy of wealth transference. Now, a lot of the Bible scholars said, well, that day of that one king was Nebuchadnezzar, liking it to the time that he came and took Jerusalem. Well, he took Tyre at the same time he took Jerusalem. So while Jerusalem was in captivity 70 years, Tyre was there too. Here's the problem with that is this particular prophecy says that Tyre would revive. Now, it's speaking of a financial system. Tyre was a financial system of trading markets. We've looked at this in detail. Under the rule of the king of Tyre, Tyre never revived after Nebuchadnezzar. 200 years later, Alexander comes along and he just levels the city. But it never revived as an international trading market, a mart of nations, a conglomeration of nations trading and trafficking in Tyre. It never revived again, but this scripture said it did, which kind of baffles some scholars. But the reason for this is because this was speaking of another day where the king of Tyre would still be in rule. He'd still be ruling and reigning over the systems of the world. Very powerful prophecy here. It's at the end of 70 years, according to the days of one king, Tyre would revive. She would commit fornication. Now, this is a financial system. So how does financial systems commit fornication? They trade. They traffic, but said all the kingdoms of the world. Now, if you understand not just biblical economics, but global economics in the world we live in, there has been a king that has been reigning in the world. It's not a natural king because this is a financial system. How do financial systems interact with one another? Called currency, dollars. Amen. I want to just rehearse this part so you'll get this. I'm going to throw it out there to him that have ears to hear. All right? The dollar was created back in 1914, but in 1944, that's 70 years ago, by the way, in July of 1944, next month, month and a half, will be the 70th year anniversary of King Dollar. You understand how the dollar works, and I'm not going to spend too much time on this. The dollar is the world's reserve currency when it comes to oil. Anybody that's buying oil or used to, they would have to buy it with U.S. dollars. If China wanted to buy oil, if Iraq wanted to buy oil, Saudi Arabia wanted to buy oil, they'd have to buy our dollars, and then they would purchase the oil with our dollars. Thus, the world's currency, our reserve currency. And because of that, because the dollar was king, that's been very good for us, but not so good for other countries. Because certain people would use that dollar to sabotage nations, freely loan it out, because it's freely printed with no backing. They took the dollar off the gold standard during Nixon's year. But I want to tell you this. What's about to happen very, very soon is there is a new system coming. And in that new system, there's going to be what's called a special drawing right. You can write this down if you're taking notes. SDR. The world's going to shift from being the dollar as the reserve currency to a special drawing right. SDR. It's going to be run out of the IMF. Now get this. Guess how this special drawing right's going to be created. It's going to take a basket of all the currencies, depending on the power of their country and the assets of their country, and they're going to put all those currencies together, and all of the currencies of the world are going to become the SDR. All of the exchanges are going to be done by a special drawing right run out of the IMF. Do you see what's happening here? All the kingdoms of the world will commit fornication with one another, not just one kingdom. That is happening right now. Plans have already been drawn up for that. But anyway, that special drawing right prophesied right there that all the kingdoms of the world upon the face of the earth, Man, that's powerful. But it would be the end of a 70-year reign. Do you know the dollar is going to reach its 70-year anniversary this coming July? The Bible prophesied that system. There would be a new financial system in the earth where all the kingdoms of the world would fornicate with one another. By currency. Through special drawing rights. Man, that's awesome. When this happens, this new system comes in, a wealth transference is coming with it. And God prophesied this ages and ages ago. But we're living in the hour that this is going to happen, biblically prophesied right there, because it never happened. This has never been fulfilled. Let's give the Lord glory. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 45 for a moment. I want to shift gears. Isaiah 45. It's very important. You get positioned for this. Hallelujah. Here's an incredible revelation. This prophecy is about Cyrus, that God's going to anoint him to take Babylon down. In the specific time he was going to do this was 70 years after the captivity of Jerusalem. Now watch how important this is. This is powerful. It has everything to do with where we're at. Isaiah 45 verse 1 says, "Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him, I will loose the loins of kings, I will open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before him and will make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut asunder the bars of iron." This is talking about Babylon, by the way. This was Cyrus being anointed to take down Babylon and shift the kingdom. God had anointed one king to take down Babylon. You know, Babylon's walls in certain places were 18 foot wide. They used to run chariot races on the walls of Babylon. That's how wide they were. Powerful city. And God said, "I'm going to anoint King Cyrus to take down this whole system." And he did. While they were all partying, they opened the gates. The riverbed dried up. And they went right through the riverbed. Listen to what he says here. Very powerful. He says, "I'll give thee the treasures of darkness, the hidden riches of secret places." That actually means in the Hebrew, vaulted treasure. Well, the history tells us that this wasn't just speaking proverbially. It was literally vaulted treasure that was underneath the city of Babylon in vaults, hidden vaults, secret vaults. Up underneath Babylon. Why was that important? Because God was going to anoint Cyrus to take this wealth, this newfound wealth that was in the vault, and he was going to give it to Zerubbabel, and he was going to give it to Joshua to go rebuild the temple. Now, I can't get into that, but if you want to read it, you can look at the notes or go to Ezra chapter 3. He gave a grant to Zerubbabel. Always, when you're dealing with the king, priest, government, you write this down, God always brings the wealth up front. With Moses, children of Israel come out of Egypt, God gives them the wealth, then they build the tabernacle. David, king, priest, government, gets crowned in Mount Hebron, gives them the wealth, then he gives the money to Solomon to build the tabernacle. Zerubbabel, king, Joshua, high priest, Cyrus gives them the grant, then they go rebuild the tabernacle. Now, here's the key. That vaulted treasure. You know whose money that was down there? That was David's money. Because it went from Mount Hebron to King David to Solomon, survived 400 years, 7 plunderings, went to Tyre, became the trading mart of the nations. Nebuchadnezzar takes Tyre down, and he brings all that wealth and sticks it under the vaults of Babylon. Now, here's awesome. While the children of Israel are serving in captivity, and they're all crying every day, weeping by the willow trees, all their wealth was sitting right up underneath them. When they went, they said, "Oh, we're destroyed. Everything's gone." God had the wealth of their entire nation right up underneath them. while they served in captivity. Just because the devil is controlling it doesn't mean it's his. He's waiting for a time his people gets right again, gets ready again for a purpose. And then he calls for the release and he anoints Osiris. And he's got Cyruses in the earth right now. Those that are ready to take down the Babylonian system that's holding the world captive. And there'll be another release in our day because there's a king-priest government, an apostolic king-priest government. And there is a purpose behind the release to fund that into the earth again. Oh, hallelujah. Just because the devil may be seemingly owning it right now in all his crowd doesn't mean it's his. It belongs to the people of God. Some of the treasures are going to get released in this hour. There have been years and centuries and centuries and centuries of generational inheritance laid and stored up for the body of Christ. Stuff that's been owned by God's covenant people throughout the ages. Just because stuff is lost doesn't mean it's lost. God watched over David's wealth for 500 years. And so when they brought it back, it said they brought the temple treasures of Solomon and David's era. Now, how did they bring that? Because God had all of it right there. Just because it's not in your hands yet doesn't mean it doesn't belong to you. It's for an appointed time. And we are living in an appointed time of history. Father, position us. Get us ready. Get us ready, Lord. Now, I want you to go to Daniel chapter 7. It's important to understand because we're dealing with Mount Hebron. We're dealing with a mountain of generational inheritance. An inheritance God watches over. An inheritance He assigns. He assigned it to David. He assigned it to Cyrus. Solomon had it. But the ultimate heir of Mount Hebron could be no one else but the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the ultimate heir because he was the inheritor of Abrahamic blessing. See, he inherited it so the blessing could come upon the world. He had to inherit all things. Amen. All the promises, promises of the new nature, promises of a new creation was going to come, a new seed was going to come, promises of that generational inheritance, all of that was fulfilled. I want you to go to Isaiah 65. Go there. Then I'm going to exhort this because you've heard a lot of this. I want to show you where Christ inherited all this because this is important. I'm going to show you prophetically another way by which it's coming. So Isaiah 65 verse 9, listen to this verse. Isaiah 65, 9, I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob. Out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains. Now we know this is speaking of Christ prophetically. He was the lion of the tribe of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains. So if he's an inheritor of Judah, then the mountain had to be in Judah. Right? What mountain was in Judah? Mount Hebron, because it was the mountain of the kings. I will bring an inheritor out of Judah. He was the inheritor of the father, and he inherited all of that generational inheritance. That's good news. He says, and mine elect shall inherit it. That's him. And my servant shall dwell there. That's me. I dwell in the mountain. You know, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, every one of them dwelt in the plains of Mamre, Mount Hebron. They all dwelt there for a good part of their life. Even Jacob, after he came back, he dwelt there in the land of Hebron. We dwell in that land. It's just a spiritual land that dwells in it because it's a promised land. It's the prized possession of the promised land. Daniel 7 said he was brought before the Ancient of Days. Daniel sees prophetically the Lord in his resurrection. He saw him come out of the grave. In his resurrection, he was brought before the Ancient of the Days. And the Father, the Ancient of Days, gave him a kingdom and a glory and an inheritance and a dominion forever. And his dominion was an everlasting dominion. Revelation 5 says this. He says, worthy, you've heard me quote this 1,000 times, is the Lamb to have received power. He said, receive. Did he receive it? If you received it, somebody gave it to him. He said, all that the Father hath is mine. Say, all the Father has is mine. Therefore, I give it to you. And he said, the Holy Spirit will make this transfer. And this is very important. So he inherits all this in the right hand of God. Worthy is the Lamb to receive what? Power, riches. See, riches. Say, riches. That was Mount Hebron. Wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. My God shall supply what? All your need according to the riches in the earth. All your need according to the riches in glory. There are riches in glory because Christ inherited them there. Mount Hebron's there. The inheritance of that mountain's in the right end. It's important you understand what I'm about to say to you. I need to share this. So he inherits all of this there. I will set my king on the holy hill of Zion. That's the right hand of God. I will declare the decree. Thou art my son. Father speaking to Christ, this day I have begotten thee. Ask of me the nations as thine inheritance. We know he gave it to him because Daniel 7 said that he gave it to him. Gave him a nation and the uttermost parts of the earth as thy possession. God at sundry times in diverse manners spake in times past by prophets, but now has spoken unto us by his Son. That's why he said when he came out of the water Jordan, he said, this is my heir. This is my beloved Son whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. Listen to what he says. Whom the Father, Hebrews says, appointed him heir, say heir, of all things. This is important because all Christianity, all of our supply, all of our blessing, all of our fullness, all of our inheritance comes directly from the right hand of God. Somebody say amen. That's where it is. And we know why it's there. Because the devil stole it from the first Adam. So God put it away from the enemy where he can never steal it again. I don't care how many times you've been stolen from here in the earth. The devil does not play fair. He steals here. He can't steal that one. And it's an unlimited access. And it's an unlimited inheritance. If you have enough faith, even though the enemy is, I've been stolen from a lot. Just out of my sheer ignorance, I've been stolen from in the past. But in wising up now, praise the Lord. When you get wise, God starts positioning you. He positions you in great waters. They that go down to the sea as humanity do business in great waters. Say, I want to be in great waters. I don't want to be in 1 foot waters. I want to be in great waters. I want to be where the fish are. I want to be where the commerce is. I want to be in great waters. They go down, see humanity. They do business in great waters. These see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. I want to see the works of God in the deep. I want to get out there big. Amen. Hallelujah. So it pleased the Father in him all the fullness would dwell. He became the appointed heir. That's important because that's all there. And then what does he say? That we are what? Seated together with him. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us what? With all spiritual blessings. Where? In heavenly places. Our quest has been to find out how God gets that spiritual blessing there to here. Well, there is a Holy Spirit that does that transference. He transfers that blessing. Well, the chief ways he does it, he transfers the word that has the inheritance locked up into it. God compacts the inheritance and he sends that word into your heart. Then he says, hear the word of the kingdom, understand the word of the kingdom, receive the word of the kingdom, and keep the word of the kingdom until it comes to fruition. Amen. You keep it, and continue to keep it. And you keep keeping it. And you keep it some more. And you keep it some more. Why? How long do I have to keep it? I don't know. Keep it for the rest of your life. Because the suddenly of God's going to arrive. And it's going to be all worth it. Amen. When the suddenly of God comes, nothing can stop the suddenly of God. Because your future will then be ordered by the word. And God upholds all things by the word of his power. If you birth a word like that, the enemy cannot stop that word. And your life will be upheld by the word that you've kept. Otherwise, you got to do it on your own. When you do it on your own, it can be shaky because the enemy can try you. But when it's built by the word, he can't stop that. He can't take that down. He can't remove that from you. He has no authority in that area. Okay, I said all that to say this. All that was review. Now I want to begin my message. Ezekiel 47. The title of this message is called The Waters of Inheritance. Now I'm going to tie the right hand of God today directly to the king of Tyre. Amen. Ezekiel 47, verse 1. I'm going to read out of the Amplified today. Ezekiel 47. I love this. Now, the purpose is to see the panoramic inheritance all the way from Abraham to the right hand of God to your heart and flowing back into the earth. To see all that panoramically and to hold the image of that mountain and all of its inheritance. You can hold the panoramic history, the historical precedence of this inheritance in your heart. When you do, you're holding the DNA, the faith of the fathers that preceded you. The cloud of witnesses are being held in your heart because they are all sown in this mountain. As you hold this mountain, their faith is in you. Their DNA is in you. Their legacy is in you. Of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Caleb, David, Solomon, Christ, all of this is in you. That's where I want you to get with this. Not to go and say, oh, that's great. And walk away with something here in your mind. To have all of that in your heart. To have the DNA, the precedence, the legacy of it. Their faith. Everything they did was building for another generation. The cloud of witnesses that have preceded us, they're going to see the release of this mountain again into the earth. Its inheritance is going to get released globally to the body of Christ. These rivers, these waters are going to flow. They come out of the heart. They come out of the kingdom of God. Now, this is a credible revelation. Ezekiel 47, I want you to get this in your heart. I want you to see this. Hallelujah. Amplified. Then he, my guide, brought me again to the door of the house of the Lord, the temple. And behold, the waters issued from under the threshold of the temple towards the east. For the front of the temple was toward the east, and the waters came down from under the temple, from the right side of the temple, on the south side of the altar. Now, let me show you how this works. This is north. This is south. This is east, that's west. The temple faced east towards the Dead Sea, okay? So if the temple door was here, south side of the altar would be here. Where's the altar at? At my right hand, right? So the south side's here. Where did it break out? From underneath the temple. Who is the temple? We are, but who's the rock in the temple? Who's the foundation? Behold, I lay in Zion a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone. The cornerstone is at the base of the temple. A tried stone. Where did the waters break out? From underneath the temple. From a rock underneath the temple. But it was out of the right hand. See the imagery going on here? These waters break out of the right hand of God, but as far as the temple's concerned, they're breaking out of you, because you're the temple of the living God, but they're breaking out of a rock, a cornerstone within you. Behold, I lay the kingdom of God is within you. There's a cornerstone. There's a rock. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Said waters proceeded out of the rock. He struck the rock, and the waters poured out. That rock was Christ. Where is Christ now? He's up in ya. He's the cornerstone of the temple. Where are these waters breaking forth? Out of the right side. Out of the right hand. Out of you. But they're coming out of the kingdom within you. They're coming out of Christ in you. And they're full of inheritance. And the purpose for me going through all of that just a minute ago is because of what's in this water. What is in the blessing is in the water. There's something in this water when it breaks loose. Because it's breaking out of the right hand of God, out of your belly, out of your innermost being, out of your foundation stone, out of your temple, floweth rivers. Say rivers of living water. This water's got something in it. This water's got some life in it. This water has some properties in it that immediately, whithersoever these waters go, they change things. They transform. They don't leave the earth and people the way they find them. These waters must flow. There's two major facets. Now remember, these waters come out of the right hand of God. He showed unto me a pure river of water of life, proceeding out of the throne of God and out of the Lamb. These waters coming from the Father through the Lamb. Pure rivers of water of life, clear as crystal. Now Ezekiel tells us about these waters. When they break out of the right side, they begin to flow eastward towards the Dead Sea. And so they begin to flow towards the Dead Sea. If you go on and meditate upon it, it talks about evangelism. The fishermen will stand upon the shores from Anglium all the way. They stand upon the shores and they cast their nets. And all manner of fish come in. But another thing it says, whithersoever these waters go, everything that's dead will live again. These waters have creative life in them. And it's going to be the secret to those who walk in creative miracles in this last day is the living waters of the right hand of God are going to release to the nations. Whithersoever these waters flow, everything that's dead will live again. They have creative life in them. They have government in them. Trees form, fruits form, leaves form. Evangelism is in these waters. They'll turn the Dead Sea to life. Booyah! They're coming out of the right hand of God. Though they're coming out of you, they're coming out of the right hand of God. That's deep calleth the deep of the noise of this water spout. Hallelujah. So it talks about a baptism. Ezekiel had to go out past the ankles, past the knees, past the loins. It was a church that was going to get baptized. It wasn't a church going to hang around the shoreline. It was a church that had to go out into the deep with God. The church had to go into full. God doesn't do anything until he baptizes it. Christ didn't do one miracle until he was baptized in the River Jordan. Ezekiel represented the church. He went out past the knees, past the loins. And there was waters to swim in. It wasn't until these waters overtook him. He lost his footing and he, whithersoever that river carried him, he was waters to swim in. That was baptism. See, after he's baptized, he comes back to the shoreline and stuff started growing everywhere. Verse 8, then he said unto me, these waters pour out toward the eastern region and go down into Arabia, the Jordan Valley, and on into the Dead Sea. These waters are not afraid of death. They're not intimidated by death. And when they shall enter into the Dead Sea, the sea, Amplified calls it the Sea of Putrid Waters. The waters shall be healed and made fresh. There's going to be deliverance. Deliverance by the rivers of life. Now notice verse 9. Very powerful. You're going to have amplified. Verse 9. Wherever the double river shall go. Say double river. Double river. I thought there was just one river. No, the Lord said out of your belly would flow rivers. The Amplified called this a double river, and the Amplified got it right. There was a double river here. Anybody ever heard of the king-priest government? The two olive trees? The double river. Say double. Every living creature which swarms shall live. There shall be a very great number of fish because these waters, this is talking about evangelism, these waters go there. They go there. And the waters of the sea may be healed and made fresh. And everything shall live wherever the river goes. Wherever the river goes, wherever you go, everything will live. I'm telling you, in this last day outbreak of living waters, this world is not going to be the same. When these waters pour out of the body of Christ, they're coming out of the right hand of God. They're full of inheritance. And whithersoever they find these waters, everything's going to live. Dead bones are going to live. Dead limbs are going to live. Creative life. Dead bodies are going to be raised. Paraplegics. Blind eyes. Deaf ears. Verse 12. And on the bank of the river, in both its sides, there shall grow all kinds of trees for food. This is government. Their leaves shall not fade, nor shall their fruit fail to meet the demand. It's going to be a difference. It's not going to be an anointing. It's going to come and go. It's going to meet the demand. The anointing on your life is going to meet the demand of humanity. The anointing is going to meet the demand. An unlimited anointing. An unlimited river, an unlimited inheritance. Each tree shall bring forth new fruit every month. See that? Your anointing is going to bring forth new fruit every month. Monthly. I believe this. I have these rivers inside of me. These supernatural qualities being because the waters came from out of the sanctuary. These supernatural qualities being the waters, because the waters came out of your sanctuary, because the waters broke out of the right hand of God and broke out of you, broke out into a city, broke out into a nation, broke out. Say, break out! Spirit, break out! Love it. Now, back to verse 9. We know they're going to the Dead Sea of humanity. We know they're full of evangelism. We know they're full of creative life. We know they're full of government because things are growing around this river. We know there is a apostolic priesthood in these waters. But it said it was a double river. Say double. Wasn't just one river. It was two rivers. Jerusalem, see, the waters broke out because it was facing east. They flowed to the Dead Sea. If there was commerce being done, it was moving through the Mediterranean Sea. That was the sea. In fact, scholars call it the Sea of Commerce. Who was situated at the entry of the sea? Tyre. In fact, in Ezekiel 27, thou art situated at the entry of the sea, boasting, aha, the gates of Jerusalem are broken, and now I'm being replenished. The king of Tyre, this was the world for all purposes, when it came to merchandise, when it came to trading, trafficking, to marketplace, this was the world. Look where the king of Tyre sat. He sat on the entry of the sea. He said, this is my sea. These are my waters. All global commerce is mine. I'm the king of this system now. That's what he was saying. Now, there was a double river. Go over to Zechariah chapter 14. Now, where did the waters come from? You. But where did they come from within you? Foundation rock underneath the threshold of the temple. So where was that? Right hand of God. What was inherited in the right hand of God? This entire series of Mount Hebron was received up in the right hand of God. Now God puts this inheritance into the living waters. All power, and he releases the waters from his people. Do you see what's going on? So when the Bible says, out of your belly flows rivers of living waters, said this spake of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was the minister of these waters. He was the one who's going to minister these living waters through his operation. He's the administrator. Nothing flows without him. Nothing's administrated without him. But these waters come out of the right hand of God. Now, Zechariah 14. See it all coming together now? See, you need to see all this inside you to make it work. You got to get the whole picture. Zechariah 14:8, amplified. What did Ezekiel 47:9 say? Called it a double river. We saw where one went. Watch where the other one goes. Zechariah 14:8, and it shall come to pass in that day. What day? Our day. That living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them towards the eastern Dead Sea. Man, we've focused on half the waters all our life. We haven't even got those yet. Lord, help us. We do have them. We haven't got them in fullness yet to the world. At least they're in us. At least we know what's in the water. And half of them to the western Mediterranean Sea. To the western, you can say half of them went to the Dead Sea, half of them went to the Sea of Commerce, half of them went for ministry, for evangelism, for creative life, the other went for commerce. These waters are full of commerce. These waters, now what's the purpose of these waters? Whithersoever they go, they change whatever they run into. Okay? When they came to the Dead Sea, they had authority and dominion over the Dead Sea. Whithersoever these waters go, they have a dominion and authority. Well, what kind of authority would they have in the Mediterranean Sea? That's not a Dead Sea. That's a sea of commerce. They either go down to the sea, do business in great waters. They see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. Do you know that you have waters in you that can flow into the marketplace of the world, that can flow into the sea of commerce? That's just a picture of the marketplace. When the Lord had his ministry, he did miracles to the deaf, the blind, the lame, but he also did financial miracles. He took them out into the waters and multiplied fish because he had those operations in him. Did you know that you may not need to be a big-time businessman, bigwig, but you have waters of commerce inside of you? You know, intercessors, your husband may be out there in the field, but as an intercessor, you have waters of commerce, and you have the right to release the God-given living waters inside of you. You can release them on the behalf of your husband. You can release them on the behalf of your business. You can release them on the behalf of your church, on your pastor. You can release them upon your generations. But you got to know what's in that water. If I've got waters that flow to the Mediterranean Sea, what's it flowing? It's flowing against a system that's dominated, controlled by the King of Tyre. And we've already seen that God's going to override that system and cause a transference of wealth. How's he going to do that? Living waters are going to break out of God's people because these waters have dominion in them. Somebody ought to shout. These waters have authority in them. These waters have the inheritance of the right hand of God. And these waters have the Mount Hebron inheritance in them. They have the key of David in them. They have David's anointing in them. They have Abraham's anointing in them. They have Caleb's anointing in them. They have the anointing of Christ in them. Because you're a joint heir. So when they flow through you, as soon as they break out into the arena of your life, things start happening. They can happen in the Dead Sea. They can happen in the Sea of Commerce. Supernatural anointing that procures blessing, increase, multiplication, cancellation of debt. Supernatural inheritance being released. Out of the blue, you get promoted. Not demoted. You get promoted. Because waters are releasing, and these waters are full of inheritance. They're full of supernatural inheritance. And if we would spend more time developing our priesthood here, getting these waters to flow from here, know that you've got those kind of waters in you. You've got waters that could reverse a lifetime of poverty, debt, lack, need, destruction, generational poverty. You ever seen generational poverty? It's not pretty. Parents struggle with it. Grandparents struggle with it. You struggle all your life with it just to meet your bills, and you've got water up inside you. But the enemy wants you to just keep on out there just doing your thing. But don't ever touch what's going on here. You need to get well acquainted with what's going on in here. You got waters inside of you that have inheritance in them. They can transform when they break out in the arena of your life. Transform your business. They can make you 100. They can make you 1,000 times greater than you are. And they can do even greater than that. They can multiply you beyond your wildest dream. They can put you in the top of a world where you don't even belong. God put you there anyway. They can give you the largest real estate deal in Houston, Texas. They can open up doors. Or you're thinking here, God's thinking. Come, Joanne, share that. Can you share that? Come on, share it. You can share it. She didn't want to, but she can. But I want her to share her testimony.
Well, about 2 weeks ago, for a year and a half, I've been over all of the banks in Houston for Cadence. And actually in Texas, we have San Antonio and 13 banks here. My real passion for business is business development, and it really fragmented me to have to see after all of the administrative, the detailed stuff of these banks and all the people involved. But I did it, but a little bit fragmented from what I really love. 2 weeks ago, the wealth management person came and asked me if I would come into wealth management and would I be willing to give that up, which I readily said yes. Yes, I would. And so we're working on right now pulling me into the wealth management private banking side, which is really my passion, but never entered my mind. Yet I knew that was my DNA, but never entered my mind to even ask for it. So this is why I say God is effortless. When God has something for you, they come to you. It overtakes you. And I want you to get that in your head. Don't try and create it. Flow with it. Flow with what comes to you. And know that you're walking in an open door, in an open heaven that only God could open. And only God could do that. So I didn't go after it. And now then I'm working to step into that role, which I know will be blessing. It's going to be different. I have nobody reporting to me, which is great. I love that. And so that's how God works. I want you to know He works effortlessly in your life. Start looking for it.
And you know one thing she said with this, the sky's the limit. So God, what happens, these living waters just flow right in front of her. And God will just start bringing one major client after another, after another, after another. That's why she's going down to the Sea of Humanity. She's doing business in great waters. She'll see the works of the Lord. The one thing, what you need to do is spend time with God, getting these waters flowing. Ask Monica. Monica, raise your hand. Her husband trades in the oil industry, but he knows the source of his blessing. Because she prays, and when she prays, God answers. And God keeps blessing them, because she knows how to release water. The blessing is in the water. Get the waters flowing around you. Nothing grows where there's dry, cracked ground. The waters are there. I wanted one more testimony. I want you to come up here. I want you to testify what happened in the real estate deal that happened last year. Just share it generally.
Oh, this is way on the spot. Okay. I'm in commercial real estate, for those of you who don't know, and I do brokerage work where I represent landlords or tenants that are going to lease office space, mainly do leasing. And I've had a client for about 15 years, and when they first called me, they actually wanted to downsize. And no one else would take their call, and I took the call, and you know, little did people know they were calling. They were 80,000 feet and wanted to go to 60,000, which really is, they had 3 years left on their lease. So ended up going in, working with them, and did an extension as well. So, you know, we got a pretty good commission. So I've worked with them for about 15 years, and they came to me, let's say it's 2-3 years ago, and said, we're really growing and we need more space. So start looking around and get a perfect option for them, and it completely just, we get to the point of signing a letter of intent. It's a big deal in my business. That usually means you're going to go to lease and close. It died completely, got taken away from us. Then we then looked at a large campus and purchasing that, went through all kinds of, because now it gets bigger. We go to look at a big campus we're going to purchase. Went through all of this for months, due diligence process, all kinds of things. They decide we can't do it. So it dies again. When I'm on vacation in Florida last summer, actually, it was a really great vacation. I just let it go. Somehow, when I stood there, I remember walking on that beach, and I said, Lord, you've got this, because I don't know what to do right now. This is just, I've spent so much time on this deal, and I'm just going to give it to you, and I'm going to let go of it. So I got to thinking, and I kind of let it go on vacation, and then I went about a month later, and I started thinking, I've learned how they work, and all of a sudden, this one building that I knew was going to be built in Houston came into my mind. So I called this landlord rep, and I kind of said, I started working out a deal with him and saying, I don't know if I can get them to do this. What could you do? This is where I need to get. So long story short, I did the largest deal that I've ever done, that my company's ever done, in December of last year. What else do you want me to say? I'll say one more little part. Okay.
It was one of the largest deals ever done in the city of Houston. Give the Lord a hand for that.
One more part of it, and this is on tithing. I want to talk about that just a little bit. I've gone through a lot in my personal life where I had gotten my bank account down pretty low. Had, you know, started resurrecting that a little bit last year, just kind of giving it to God, and continuing to give it to God. And the Lord told me, I don't know, maybe let's say it's 3 or 4 months out. Every time I go to write my check, I will tell you what I do, and a few people that know me know this is what I do. I just stop, and it's not about 10%, it's not about 5%, it's not about 15%, it's not about what's in the bank account. I'm just saying, Lord, what do you want me to do today? And that's what I do. And I will tell you that discipline has paid off, but back to right before this deal closed, he told me I need to give a set amount every single service. And it was not a small amount, but he just kind of said, this is what I want you to do until that deal closes. So I did it. And I will tell you, at times, I felt like I was almost charging on a credit card, and I wasn't really sure, because I'm not really good with taking care of my own personal finances. But I continue to do it. And then the last, this makes me cry, but I knew this deal, this deal had closed and it was coming in. And I thought, oh my gosh, Lord, this is the last time I have to give this much. You know, I was thinking that to myself. And I walked up and dropped it in. He said, that's the last time you'll only give that much. So.
Isn't that awesome? There's no limitation to these waters. Say no limitation. What would happen if the body of Christ releases the living waters? You have to understand what's in them to have faith. You've got to know that everything he inherited in the right hand of God, he put in those waters. His government's in there, his power, his glory, his wealth, his riches. That's how the administration of the inheritance flows. The living waters flow out of us. And the Holy Spirit's the administrator of those waters. And when they break out in through the arena of your life, they break out, just as soon as they break out in the atmosphere, the Holy Spirit starts anointing those waters with creative life, demonstration, confirmation, and he creates the favor. And we have seen his favor. Going to change a lot of things. God's done great things, amen? And he's going to do even greater. Give the Lord a hand, hallelujah. Now I'm going to give you one more scripture. Because you want to hear this one, because this one's going to be for you to confess and decree. Joel chapter 3. And you can write this scripture down. You don't have to go there. Isaiah 60 verse 5. I'll say it to you while I'm going to quote Joel 3. Isaiah 60 and 5 said, then shall thou see and flow together. Thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. And the force or the wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. It's that sea. It's that system will be converted to you. You got to believe in the waters. Believe in what he that believeth on me, out of his belly will flow rivers of living waters. And this is the last scripture. It's been a great day, huh? Hallelujah. Faith has come up. I can feel it. Joel 3:18. Very powerful scripture. This is the one you decree. Amen. It shall come to pass in that day. What day? This day. This day is that day. That day is this day. That the mountains shall drop down new wine. Which mountain's the one you carry? And the hills shall flow with milk. And the rivers of Judah shall flow with waters. And a fountain shall come forth from the house of the Lord. Let me read it to you in the Living Bible. You ready for this? And a fountain shall burst forth from the Lord's temple. The fountain will burst forth from our temple. You are that temple. And that temple's full of eternal water. It's full of eternal water. The wellspring I will give you will be in you, a wellspring of water flowing up with eternal life. It's more than just eternal life. It's eternal inheritance. It's eternal power, eternal salvation, eternal blessings. That's how the blessings coming out of the right hand of God. It's coming through the waters. It's coming out of your temple. From the right hand of God into the earth, the Holy Spirit's going to administrate that inheritance, the inheritance of the waters. We are mighty, mighty blessed because we have the blessing in us. And that's what the devil's afraid of. Start decreeing the living waters to break forth from your temple and believe in those waters. Know what's in those waters. Amen.